sucker was that big. You remember the Whopper? And went in one a little while ago, and I said, Whopper is de-whopped. That thing is, I mean, that little old bitty bun, I couldn't even believe it. So this is what's happening here, see? So we're finding out we have believed the truth from the beginning, even as they delivered them unto us, they being the apostles, who witnessed these things, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. This isn't something that's written. This book isn't something that's written from hearsay evidence and fairy tales. Eyewitnesses saw this thing. They still debating the resurrection. Now, for heaven's sake, I was in seminary and heard a young man telling one of the professors, and they were talking about it. I just listened to it, and he said, I'm having trouble with the resurrection. I said, son, you finished high school, been in Sunday school all your life. You finished college and majored in Bible, and now you in seminary and have trouble with the resurrection? Resurrection is not your problem. Salvation is your problem. If you're saved and believe the word of God, there's no problem with the resurrection. God can't get up what he already made. What's the matter with you? See, it's people who believe God can't who are in trouble. God can. Is there anything too hard for God? The scripture asks the rhetorical question, which the answer is, of course not. Don't have to worry about it. Don't have to speculate about it. He can do anything, else he can't be God. It seemed good to me also, Luke says, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. In other words, he's checked it out as a historian. He's checked it out by talking to people who were the eyewitnesses. So he has perfect understanding of the things that happened to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Theophilus is, that means friend of God. Theo always means God. Philo is love, all right? So Theophilus, the name would mean the one loved of God. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now, you would certainly know there were truth. You see, there is nothing wrong with the word of God, except one thing. And that is people don't read it enough. And they don't believe what they read. That's the only thing wrong with the Bible. If you're trying to find something else wrong with the Bible, you are laboring in vain. Because there's nothing wrong in there. Everything's right. And if you don't understand it, guess who's wrong? It's you. There was in the days of Herod. Now understand who Herod was. We see that name and don't think much about it. This is one of the most cruel, wicked men who ever lived. The king of Judea. Herod killed his mother to inherit the throne. He killed some of his children. This was a vicious, vicious man, king of Judea. A certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous, meaning they had right standing before God. They were godly people, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. They had no child and no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and in that day and time, that was really bad news if the wife couldn't produce children. Of course, nobody got mad at the husband. I mean, maybe it was his fault. But the woman didn't have children. She was looked down upon. And they both were now well stricken in years. They were older. Came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Please understand that to burn the incense in the presence of the Lord was a great, great honor. That they had priests 24/7, and the orders of the priests, they were numerous, and to ever be chosen to burn the incense in front of the Lord was a great honor that may come to you once in a lifetime, and chances are it wasn't going to come to you. And so he was having this opportunity to do this great thing. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now this would be Gabriel. Gabriel is chosen throughout scriptures to bring great messages from God. When Zechariah saw him, which tells you angels can become visible, they can be seen. And people who don't believe in angels. In fact, back then, the Pharisees believed in angels. Pharisees believed in resurrection. The Pharisees believed a lot of the things we believe. The Sadducees didn't. Sadducees didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the spirit world. They didn't believe in resurrection. And that is why they are so sad, you see. All right. About 20 minutes, you'll understand that. He was troubled and fell upon him. And please understand, you see an angel, as I see people claim they do from time to time on TV, not jumping up and down. You see an angel, you'll fall flat on your face. You'll be in the presence of somebody who's been in the presence of God forever. They have the glory of God round about them, and there's no doubt in your mind who you're talking to. And you will fall flat on your face, I promise you. I hear people say what all they're going to say when they see Jesus. They're going to do about like I am. They're going to shut up for 2,000 years just being glad they're there, hoping somebody hadn't made a mistake. That's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is exactly what you're going to do. And he was troubled. He was scared. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, angels talk, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and shall call his name John. Now there we need to look at a few things. How did the angel know what he prayed, and how did he know it was heard if he didn't come from heaven? How did he know that Elizabeth was pregnant? How did he know that she was going to have a son? 50-50 chance she wasn't. And how in the world did he know to tell him to call his name John? You didn't just come and name a baby. They named the baby after the father. As we still do it today, right? Bubba, Bubba Jr., Bubba Jr. Jr., you know how that goes. We do that today. Name them after the Father. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. How did he know this? How did the angel know this? How did he know this wasn't going to be an infirm child that, you know, everybody wants a bouncing baby with a big smile and everything, and I love them when they say, oh, our baby's so beautiful, and you go in and look at it, and you... you know, but to them is. And it's always the prettiest baby on earth, and they always just had a genius. Have you noticed that? You see? And sometimes I don't mean to be unkind, but I say, well, you know, it looks a lot like Winston Churchill. Because all babies do. They have that little jowl and no teeth, and they just grinning at you. And, you know. They bring joy and gladness to me. Someone wrote years ago that babies make fools of us all. Have you noticed that? You get a PhD and had a look at the new baby. A minute later, he's going, ooh, 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 ooh. And, you know, and asking the baby questions. He can't even talk yet. Oh, how you like being here. Oh, and they do make fools of us all, don't they, see? And then they immediately take over your life and can't even speak. Get anything they want, can't even ask for it. They just immediately can run the show. Well, God did something good when he made babies. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. How'd the angel know this if the Lord hadn't told him this to make the message clear? And shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. The difference in those two, wine is made out of grapes, strong drink is made out of grain. Same today. And he should be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. This does not mean that he was born saved. It means that he will be led by the Holy Spirit of God. That he's a special baby. He's here for special reasons. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Well, wait a minute. I thought the Jewish people were God's chosen people. Well, they are. But a lot of them didn't choose God. Even before Christianity, they didn't choose God. They didn't go to temple. They didn't do the sacrifices. Just like everybody else today. They know about Jesus. He's not hardly a secret anymore. They choose not to follow him. Pug was telling me he was watching the parade out there in front of Ducks. And our float came by and said, Lord, and they saw the little flag, says Church of the Lost and Found. And they said, Church of the Lost and Found. Ha, 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 ha. And Pug turned around and said, don't laugh at my church. He said that whole crowd just shut up. One man. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how one man on the side of God can turn a crowd around. Isn't it funny? You're one person and saying, shut them up. Can sure do it, see. But he said, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before them. He'll lead them in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So John the Baptist is going to prepare a people to really be the children of God and to really accept his word. And to see his plan for the ages. And he is going to make preparation for that. And this is a wild man preaching. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man. My wife's well stricken in years. Now isn't it unusual? And I love Zacharias. And I would have probably done the same thing, as would have you. But here he is worshiping the Lord in the temple. He's a priest. He's chosen to do the incense, great honor. An angel shows up, begins to talk to him, and he doubts. What is it going to take? What is it going to take, Zacharias, to turn you around? What more do you need? How much information do we have to give you? And it's like the people today. They hear the gospel. There's more gospel on bumper stickers now than there used to be in churches 100 years ago. I mean, you can ride up and down the road and get filled up with the gospel reading bumper stickers and seeing the billboards and watching Christmas parades with the story on the float. The average man doesn't doubt that there's a God. In fact, he'll admit to the life of Christ and he'll know about the resurrection. But he'll still doubt that he can be saved. He isn't doubting the power of God. He is doubting his power to handle it. If I get saved, I'll have to change my way of living. That's his problem. He doesn't want to change his way of living. It's sad when you see folks in the in New Guinea, in those areas of the world, still living in mud huts and hunting with spears, when the world around them is as it is. And you say, isn't that sad that in this day that anybody would have to live like that? What a shame. Well, you see, they won't leave where they are and go and find out what to do because they have doubts that it won't work for them. It worked for them. People will go for years, hear preachers preach, and their mother and dad may have been good Christians, or their granddaddy was a preacher even, and they still doubt in the scripture. heard it all their life. Still doubting the scripture. What is it a doubt? Martin Luther was sitting with a friend and before a fireplace and a little mouse ran across the floor. And he said that a single mouse running across a kitchen floor should convince anybody that there's a God. I mean, how's a mouse go find a Mrs. Mouse and have a bunch of little mice and know to love them and take care of them? And look, how do they know that? There's no mouse school. How do they know to do that? And how does a frog jump in the swamp and find a Mrs. Frog? How does a salamander figure all that out? The Bible tells you in the Old Testament that even a spider will live in king's castles. Isn't that something? Doesn't have a job, no education, can't work. And he's living in the castle. And everybody's looking at the castle saying, boy, I wish I lived there. I'd give anything to live there. And he said, well, you ought to do what your Father in heaven taught you to do like I do, and maybe you could live there. That's all he did. See, they never doubt. No birds. We feed the birds at our house and put out two hanging things off the, I call it the porch. Ann says it's the veranda. But I'm on the porch feeding the birds. And the cat loves to get at the door and watch them. And she don't even know there is outside. We rescued her, and she's inside now and looks at that glass, and the birds will fly, and she runs back to the back of the house and gets in that window. And we love her because you can see her thinking, I know where they are. I know where they went. I'll get them. I'm going back there. And steady after this. Now, who taught the cat he's supposed to chase birds anyway? He not only does that, I love to watch God work through his creation, and anybody can look at a dog or a cat or a frog or anything else and can't figure out he was there by design for a special purpose is an idiot. It's no use to have a big long argument. You're arguing with a fool. The Bible tells you not to do that. And I love him because instinctively he doesn't just run and get at the glass and look. He drops down in that slink mode and slinks across there. And eyes them like, man, this is it. This is what I was made for. They're not supposed to see me or hear me, and I'm going to get me one in a minute. I'm going to tear his face off. No, you not. The door's in the way. But he's ready. He is ready. And I said, that's what he was made to do. I had a deaf cat once. He was white. I named him Silent White. And little Silent White would get out in the yard and jump up. The birds would try to fly when they saw him getting too close. And some of them flew like a 9-iron. Others had a 3. They should have got a 9. Because if they didn't go more than a couple of feet over him, bap, up in the air and swat him out there. Didn't think nothing about it. I mean, that's just what he was made for. And we didn't want him killing the birds, so we put a bell around his neck so the birds could hear him coming. That lasted one day. He didn't take it off, and he never heard it. He just figured out what we had done to him was causing him to scare the birds because he knew it wasn't him. He knew how to walk. So he just slowed it down a little. The bell never rang, and he kept swatting them out there. Mm-hmm. Right? Because he was going to do what he was made to do. And I was trying to make him not do what he was supposed to do. And this is what happens to people. See, if you just do what God asks you to do, it's so simple and easy. That's why it's a stumbling block. That's why it said to Jews that Jesus was a stumbling block to the Jews. It was too easy. Man, you're not killing any cows. You're not sprinkling any blood. You're not having any feast days. You're not doing this. You're not keeping the law. We got 614 things you're supposed to do, and you're not doing them. All you're doing is coming in here and say, believe on me. That's too easy. No, it's too powerful. You can't add to it. When they drop a nuclear bomb, don't throw a cherry bomb in there with it. It ain't going to help. the nuclear bomb take care of it. When God said, I'll save you if you will believe, you will just put your trust in me, then just do that. Try to add to it, take away from it. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood for the sins of the world, was buried and resurrected the third day, and if you will believe that, you'll be saved. That's the end of it. That's the end of it. Now you can learn more. You can help more people. You can spread his word. You can build the churches. You can help the missionaries and do all that, and that's wonderful. But as far as getting saved, that's it. That's the end of it. That's too simple. No, it isn't. You too simple if you don't believe it. And the angel answered, saying unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show you these glad tidings. He gave his credentials. You want an ID? That's pretty strong, isn't it? And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. You see, when you don't accept the word of God, failure to believe the word of God has its consequences. Believe me. And if you think that you're going to get by doing stuff that the Bible says not to do, and just because it doesn't come upon you all at once, and you got away with something, then you are the idiot of the universe. For the God who wrote this book knows everything you ever did, and everything you're doing, and everything you will do. And one day you and I will stand before him and give an account for what we did, what we thought, and what we said. And if you don't have the right answer, you'll give that account at the white throne judgment, which is to see how much punishment you'll receive for what you did in hell. There will be degrees of punishment in hell. And the bema judgment, which comes 1,000 years before that, you'll still stand before him and give an account for what you did and what you said and what you thought and what you did with what he let you do, with what he gave you, the mind he gave you. And that will decide what kind of rewards you get and your position to serve him for eternity. This is not a trial run. This is to find your place and how you will serve God for eternity. People say, do you have any regrets about preaching? I said, yes. Said, what? I said, I didn't start early enough. Said, look what I missed. Look what I could have had. Not being selfish, you're going to cast your crowns at the feet of Christ anyhow. But to look at him, A.T. Robertson, great Greek scholar, served the Lord for 50, 60 years, was noted as one of the great Greek scholars to interpret the scriptures for us. Man of God who accomplished more for God than you and I will do forever. I mean, he was just something. He went blind. He was on his deathbed. He hadn't been able to see for months, and they knew he was leaving, so they called some of his contemporaries to come around and send him home in style. They called some preachers, Adrian Rogers, Billy Graham, a couple of more. They came and stood around the bed with the old gentleman, and they sang a few songs, a few hymns. And then they all prayed for him, thanking God for his life and what he had done. And they looked at him, and he was lying in the bed, ready to go home. Eyes had just been sockets for years. And all of a sudden, the old man sat up. And you can tell when a blind man is looking at something with his mind instead of his eyes. He was looking in that corner. I mean, his eyes that he did see was looking in the corner of that hospital room, and they were amazed that he could even sit up. He looked. He said, "Well, there's the city. There's my mama. There's Jesus." And I didn't do him justice. It was gone. After his life, I didn't do him justice. And that is the sole duty of you and I, is to do him justice. And I thank you for what you're doing here to help in doing that. That's just wonderful. "You shall be dumb, not able to speak." He was a mute because you didn't believe what God said. "And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he stayed so long, that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he couldn't speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple." They knew something had gone on. "For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless." He couldn't talk. "It came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed and went to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, 'Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men.'" This is a second miracle baby of the scripture. First one was Abraham, wasn't it? God said, this time next year you're going to have a baby. Sarah's hiding in the tent. She heard what was going on and laughed. Laughed at God. She said, "You got to be kidding. How am I going to have a baby with that old dude? He's 100. A baby. She laughed. God said, "Don't laugh at me." She said, I didn't laugh. He said, "Yeah, you did. I heard you." Then they had the baby. His name in English means laughter. Just one of those that God puts in there, right? Isn't that wonderful? So this is the second miracle baby. "And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David." Gabriel got his instructions correct again, because there were several virgins in the area. He went to Joseph. How did he know who she was going to marry if God didn't tell him? "The house of David" means they were in the lineage of King David, because this had to happen for Jesus, who would be born, is one day going to assume the throne of David. And he had to come through that line. And Gabriel already knows it. "And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, 'Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.'" He did not say, "Thou art full of grace." He said, "Thou art favored." "When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying." Naturally, wouldn't you be? "And cast in her mind," thought about it, "what manner of salutation could this be?" Whoa, wait a minute. Hello's fine, and I got a message for you is one thing. But I'm sitting here, a teenage girl. I'm not married. I've never been touched by a man. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up and tells me I'm going to have a baby. This is a little heavy. Could we not have said hello and had some cookies and milk first? I mean, think about it, you ladies. You're that age. And this happens to you. I guess you'd be troubled in mind too, wouldn't you? "And the angel said unto her, 'Fear not, Mary. Thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus,'" which means Savior, "he who shall save his people. 'He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob, that's the Jews, forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is referring to the second coming of Christ, because that didn't happen when he was here last time, did it? So we know it's going to happen, don't we? So take your road map to peace and the division of Israel, which God told you not to do, and be very, very careful, because you are messing with things you do not understand when you try to divide up the land of Israel. And it's going to come back on you 100-fold. But the good news is, we know that he is coming, and he shall sit on his throne, and we shall serve him. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm not married. I haven't had sex with anybody. I know how babies come about, and I've just been a righteous young Jewish girl growing up, acting right. And how can this be? Same question people who don't believe the Bible ask today, don't they? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest, the power of God, shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus was a special creation. The Muslims, in their attempt to have a Bible, teach that Muhammad was born clean. He didn't need to be cleaned up after he was born. Any of you people who have had children want to laugh now and be all right. His umbilical cord had already been cut, and he immediately fell on the ground, grabbed a handful of dirt, and said, God is great. Imagine such foolishness. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth. And the angel's telling Mary, your cousin, she's also conceived a son in her old age. How did Gabriel know that if he didn't come from God? And this is the sixth month with her. How do you know that if he didn't come from God? Who was called barren. How do you know that? For with God nothing shall be impossible. Circle that about four times in your Bible and put stars by it when you're wondering if God can answer any prayer you ever pray. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Doesn't mean every prayer you pray is going to be answered your way. In fact, you've prayed many prayers that you are so glad the day they weren't answered the way you wanted them answered, you don't know what to do. Get out your high school answer, your annual, and look that cheerleader one more time and remember how you prayed to marry her. And had you, life would have been a little more miserable than it is today. All right? Many things you prayed for, oh God, please. And he said, no, you have no idea what you're asking. I've got a different plan. All prayers that you pray are answered, by the way. Either yes or no. Wait till later, or I've got a better idea. Your part is to pray and have faith. And I always say, thy will be done. C.S. Lewis said, at the end of it all, it will end like this. The saved, those who accept Christ and submit to God, will say, thy will be done. The lost who send themselves to hell, God will say to them, "Thy will be done." All depends on you, doesn't it? Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Whatever you want to do, Lord, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, just let me know. Open a door, I'll walk through it. And the angel departed from her. He had got his answer. She said she'd go with the program. And she did. And Mary arose in those days, went into the hill country with haste. She hurried into the city of Judah. She may have been going to for fear people would see her pregnancy and wonder, and the talk would start, as you know it would. And in fact, there was a stoning incident, wasn't it? If you became pregnant, and you could break your engagement over that naturally. And I mean, it was a shame. And she said, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted, said hello to Elizabeth. Came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't read here the fetus leaped. I don't read that, well, a piece of flesh, yes, was there, and it leaped. I don't read that a zygote leaped. I read that a baby leaped in her womb. And if we continue at the rate of killing 4,000 unborn babies a year, we're in deep, deep trouble. Or is it a week now? It's a week, isn't it? It's a week, isn't it, in Georgia? 4,000 a week. Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Pol Pot, and anybody you can name in history has never conducted a slaughter of human life as what's being done in the United States of America on a daily basis. And if you think God is going to wink at that and continue to bless, you are crazy as a loon. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth sure has some inside information, doesn't she? The mother of my Lord, of my Savior? Where did she get all this information? Well, I already told you the angel talked to her too. It never refers to Jesus one time in the Bible, or to Mary as one time in the Bible, as the mother of God. She was the instrument used to give the manifestation of God a human body. God didn't need a mother. He's always been and always was and always shall be. "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord," that this would be the Messiah that the Jews had looked for thousands of years. What an announcement. What a telegram. What a delivery system. Both the news and the baby. Isn't that wonderful to know? Now, if you don't know that this is the truth for you, please understand it is. Please understand the Christmas that we celebrate, and it's just a day we picked. We're just glad Jesus was born. I don't care if it was the 25th of December or when it was. We're just glad he came. But the celebration of this season is not about gifts and not about parties. It's about a Savior who came to save the world from its sin. and keep us from going to hell. What a gift mankind got wrapped in the swaddling clothes in the feeding trough of an ox. No glitter, no ribbons. Just the gift of gifts from the greatest giver of all, God. If you don't know him today, where you sit, understand that baby came and lived a sinless life where man could have a representative before God of his own kind. He died a terrible death on the cross of Calvary, willingly shed his blood to pay the price of sin. Was buried, arose the third day, later went home to be with his Father, and is about to come again. He came the first time. I wrote a little poem in one of my Bibles. Came the first time as a lamb lying in a manger. He'll come the second as a lion. The warrior from Zion. It's not the baby that's coming back. It's not the baby that you'll have to face. It's the Lion of the tribe of Judah who will judge the sins of the world. If you know him not, you accept him today where you sit. Lord, I've been lost all my life. No use to run down the sins. You already know them. I'm just here to ask for you to forgive them. Put me in the family of God. I believe you're the Savior. And if you will do that and put your faith in him, he will accomplish great things through you, as he did through the baby in Elizabeth, little John, as he did through the baby in Mary, little Jesus. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the Christmas season. Thank you as we give gifts one to another that we will do that in full recognition that we are remembering the gift that you gave us. And we're saying, as God gave to me, I give to you. As God loved me and wants to give me a gift, I love you and I wish to give you a gift. May we remember that as we go through this season. Let us be able to reach people and they see the true joy of Christmas through those who celebrate it for the right reason. And may we be able to be instrumental in bringing many to thee. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen.